Okay, we are on the air. So a few shailas were sent in. One shaila was sent in that someone who on the way to shul takes out the garbage. And so he's holding the garbage in one hand, he has to sit in the other hand. Does he have to wash his hands again? So here's the way this works. There is a chiyuv to wash your hands. I'm not kidding. There's a chiyuv to wash your hands before you daven. Every time you daven, you should wash your hands better with a kli, at least with water. You should wash your hands. So whether you take out the garbage or not, you need to wash your hands. Now, if your hands touch the garbage bag or some dirty food, that does not invalidate your hands. And therefore, the only thing that would invalidate your hands is touching parts of your body that are covered or touching feces, et cetera, dirty diapers, things like that, going to the bathroom. But otherwise, you would not need to wash your hands again just because you took out the garbage. So you could hold your sitter, you could daven. That is one shaila. Second shaila was from Kenny. I believe Kenny asked one, multiple shailas, so we'll discuss one of them. One of them was, are you allowed to eat from a store, a restaurant that's machal shabbos? So like this, it has to be kosher. Food has to be kosher no matter what. You need to make sure whatever you're drinking, whatever you're eating, hella rich, whatever you're eating, whatever you're drinking, has to be kosher food. But let's say it's a Jewish-owned store that's machal shabbos. So the way it goes is, as far as kashrus, make sure it's kosher. As far as if they cook food on Shabbos, if it's a Goyish store that cooks food on Shabbos, you need to wait the amount of time that it would take for them to cook it after Shabbos. So Saturday night, don't eat any food for like an hour, whatever it is after Shabbos. But if it's a Jewish store, you don't have that. You don't have to wait at all. And therefore, as long as it's kosher food, you're allowed to eat the food after Shabbos, and you don't need to wait at all. Now, there's another issue, which is, should you give business to such an institution, such an environment that they're Jewish, and publicly Jewish, and they're Machal Shabbos? So that is a hashkafic debate. Is it proper to give your money to such a restaurant or not? But Me'ikra Din, it's mutter. Okay.
What if the worker that cooked the food was Jewish?
The worker that cooked the food is Jewish, so he was Machal Shabbos. And you're allowed to benefit from that after Shabbos. Not on Shabbos, but after Shabbos, you can benefit from that. But the question is it hashkafically nice and good to be getting business in such a place? That would be the hashkafic issue. But a kashrus issue, halakha issue, is fine. Okay, and the last thing sent in, actually last week, I forgot who asked it, but do you answer amen to Kaddish that is said by a woman? So here's the way it goes. It's very interesting. In Shulchan Aruch in Yerideh, Hilchas Avelus, where it discusses saying Kaddish for deceased relatives, it clearly says that when a woman says Kaddish, it does very good things for the neshama, just like when a man says Kaddish. So the neshama will be elevated. However, it's brought down over there, but it's not the right thing to do. Even though it would be good for the neshama, because we have our boundaries and our borders, we have our mechitzas, we don't let a woman be a chazin or a bal kore, even though they would do a wonderful job. This also, so therefore, to recommend, to encourage a lady to say Kaddish, we definitely will not. If she doesn't know any better, or she just has to do it, you definitely can answer amen, and perhaps she's doing good things in Shemayim for the Neshama. It's not good for us over here, because we try to have our boundaries, but it would be okay. All right, hello, Alex.
Can I just ask a question on the first halacha on washing your hands?
Alex, this would be a foolish lema for your father. We did three shots tonight. Yaakov was about to ask one of them. But one of them was, when you take out the garbage, as long as your hands are still clean and you wash your hands for davening, you don't need to wash again. Two is, you can answer a main to Kaddish from a lady. And three is, you can eat food as long as it's kosher from a Machal Shabbos restaurant. It just may not be the best thing to do. Okay, Yaakov, what was it, Shaila?
Is it like ma'akev davening if you don't wash your hands? And B, how long before davening are you able to wash your hands?
Great, okay, right. So we're speaking out, hello Pinchas, what we're speaking out is that when before davening, before all three tefillahs, you need to wash your hands, preferably with a cup, but at least with water. Now, as far as how far in advance, has to be as close to it as you can, that you did not lose sight and lose track of your hands. So like if you wash them in the morning, say, I'm washing for Maru. So if you wash your hands from morning till night and just wash them, nothing happens, and it's fine. But assuming you're busy, so once you get busy, you lose track of your hands, that would invalidate that wash. So 5 minutes, 5 minutes would also be okay, unless you're so busy in those 5 minutes, you lost track. That's that. Now, as far as are you yotzei your tefillah, if your hands are known to be dirty, then you may not be yotzei your tefillah. If your hands are just, you don't know, so then you're still yotzei your tefillah. You should have washed, but if you didn't and you don't know that your hands are dirty, so then you are still yotzei tefillah. And dirty means having touched covered parts of your body or known feces, urine, etc. That would invalidate your hands. Okay, those are the three shaylos that then. Now we'll get to our regularly scheduled program, which is part two of Purim. Okay, so we are discussing, last week we discussed most of the mitzvahs. We discussed Parshas Zachar, Tanis Esther, and Shalach Manas, Suda, Matanis of Yonim, and the Purim Meshulash for the Israelis, for the Yerushalmis, and the Puris Mappa, Erev Shabbos Suda for Rich. This week, what we have left to discuss is two things. Number one is the Megillah, and number two is certain Hashkafa view of what we should be doing on Purim. So here we go. As far as the Megillah, okay, for all of us here tonight and everyone in the world, we'll be hearing Megillah Thursday night, Friday. There's a chiyuv to hear Megillah both times. It's not like one or the other. Chiyuv to hear Megillah both times. You should be dressed up in nice clothing when you go hear the Megillah, big day Shabbos, or a really stupid costume is also okay. But really a good idea would be to wear big day Shabbos. Now, you definitely should go for a minyan. Even women should hear, try to hear with a minyan. If you're in America or you're outside of Yerushalayim, hearing it with a minyan is not a big deal, even without a minyan. But in Yerushalayim this year, because of the Purim Meshulash, it's a whole complicated story, but because of the way Purim falls out, it's a super duper good idea to make sure you hear with a minyan. And therefore, even women should hear with a minyan, even if it's 10 women, that's fine. But it should be hearing the Megillah with a minyan. If you can't get a minyan, you are still yotzei without it, but it's definitely ideal to get a minyan. We spoke out last week, it's better to do with Zoom or with phone, connect to a minyan, than to do it at home by yourself. Now, that you have all night to hear the Megillah by night, meaning from three stars until dawn for the night. And then for the day reading, you have from dawn or preferably from sunrise until sunset. So you have all day, it's not like Kriya Shema, you have all day to hear the Megillah and all night to hear the Megillah. Now, here's the way this goes. We do not read the Megillah on Shabbos for the Yerushalayim people, and that's why we do it on Thursday, Friday. Now, here's the hardest part of the Megillah. You actually need to hear every word. Okay, this may be a shock to people, but every word of the Megillah must be heard. If you miss one word of the Megillah, you're not yotzei. So you could have been sitting there for 30 minutes, endured all of the hamans, but if you missed one word, you're not yotzei. So let me explain what this means. If you fell asleep or someone made noise and you missed a word, you're not yotzei. If you were daydreaming and you don't even know what you heard, you're not yotzei. You need to hear the words. Now, you do not need to understand the words. This is crucial. If you do not know Hebrew, we don't care. You just need to hear every word. And therefore, it is not a good idea if you do not know Hebrew. It's not a good idea to read it in English. It's not a good idea. Because by you reading in English, you'll be absorbed with the English and you'll be missing the words. So you want to read in English? Do it before, do it after. But during the Megillah, you are Israeli. You're listening to every Hebrew word, whether you know it or not, you're listening to it, right? You got that? So now let's say like you're not sure. Maybe you missed a word, maybe not. Or you are sure, you for sure missed a word. Here's what you should do, and listen carefully. What you should do is, you have a chumash in front of you. Hello, Shmuel. You here? Okay. So if you miss a word, Shmuel, you're connected. Okay, Shmuel, we're listening. If you miss one word of Megillah, you're not yotzei. So here's what happens. If you miss a word, have a chumash in front of you, and read that word that you missed. However, you must hear and read the Megillah in order. And therefore, let's say you missed word 25. Okay, word 25 you missed. And you didn't realize that until word 30. You were not Yotze from word 25 to 30. So you need to go in your Chumash back to word 25 and read 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30 until you catch up to where the Chazan is, because it must be laned in order. So you, when you heard words 1 to 24 and you spaced out for word 25, but you heard 26, 27, 28, you're not Yotze 26, 27, 28. So you need to go back and read 25 and catch up. Now, if you have a kosher Megillah in front of you, it's great if you know how to read. But if you don't know how to read, don't have a kosher Megillah in front of you. Have a regular Chumash in front of you because you're Yotze with that up until 50%. So if you're really a major duper, major super duper space out and you miss 49% of the Megillah, that's fine for you to make that up from the Chumash in front of you. If you completely fell asleep and you missed 50% or more, then it's not going to help you to read it from the Chumash. You're just going to have to go somewhere else to hear Megillah again. But okay, so as long as it's less than 50%, you can read that from a Chumash. Just make sure it's all in order. And don't say like, oh, you make it up at the end. You can't make it up at the end. You must make it up immediately. So if you're even hesitant, maybe I missed it, maybe I didn't, just say it. Don't like debate with yourself, did I miss, did I not miss? Who cares? Just read it now. You'll miss less words. Just say it and go straight, okay? Crucial. Now, you're allowed to hear the Megillah sitting or standing. The Baal Kori, because of Kavod HaTzibur, he stands up. You can sit, you can stand. I recommend switching, going back from standing to sitting, because then you'll keep staying fresh. You'll be less space outs. If you can continuously change your position, you'll have a better chance of paying attention. Definitely keep your finger in the place. Definitely like get involved, like feel the story. It'll keep you awake. But do not read along with the Chazan, because if you read along with the Chazan, that means you're reading from your Pasul Megillah, from your Chumash, and you're not going to Yotze because you're reading the whole thing from your Megillah. So don't read along with him, point along with him, and be ready to fill in any word that you missed. Okay, now, if you spoke in the middle, don't. But if you did, so if you didn't miss hearing anything, then it's fine. You're not allowed to speak in the middle. But if you did speak, it does not invalidate anything. So for some reason, you say, in the middle, like you have to tell a joke to your friend and you can't control yourself. So you're still Yotze, but whatever words that you missed while you were talking, you're going to have to go back and read those yourself. But it doesn't invalidate the rest of the Megillah. The minhag is to say four psukim out loud. If you don't know them, it doesn't matter. If you don't say them, it doesn't matter, right? The whole tzibur is saying something, you don't know exactly what they're saying. It's okay, you don't have to say it, but it's a good idea. Just, you know, familiarize yourself with them. We say four psukim out loud. We also say all of Haman's sons. We try to do it in one breath. It's not ma'akev. Even if you do not have the breath-holding capabilities as other people, it doesn't matter. You're still Yotze. And even if the Baal Kori doesn't do it in one breath, you're still Yotze. We do try to do it in one breath just because they all died at the same second. So to remember that, we try to say the name at the same time. Tell you in one breath. But you're still Yotze. The Baal Kori will fold the Megillah in a funny fashion, if you notice that, because it's called a letter. So he folds the Megillah in a way like a letter would be folded. But again, that's a good idea. It's not ma'akev. Banging during Haman is a great minhag, and do it. And don't be the killjoy that doesn't like it. You'll endure it. The idea, it's a way of erasing Haman's name. So we bang, erasing Amalek's name, because Haman is a descendant of Amalek. And therefore we bang, and that's fine. We make three brachas by night, three brachas by day. The Shehiyanu by day is going on the other mitzvahs of the day, which is Shachmanes, Suda, Ematas, Avyonim. So you have that in mind, that Shehiyanu is not just going on the Megillah, it's also going on the other mitzvahs. For the Yerushalayim people, that we're doing Suda and Shachmanes on Sunday. So some say somehow the Shehiyanu can carry to Sunday. Others will buy a new fruit and make a Shehiyanu on the new fruit on Sunday and have in mind the Purim Suda and Shalach Manas. But again, it's not a big deal if you don't. If you do not make the brachas or you do not hear the brachas, it doesn't matter. You're still Yotzei Megillah. So if you walk in and you hear Vayehi Bimeach Hashverosh, do not say, oops, I didn't hear the brachas, and start making brachas. Don't do that because you're going to miss the laning. Just be quiet and listen in your Yotzei. So brachas are great. We want to make brachas, but they're not ma'akev. They don't hold back not fulfilling the mitzvah. And that is that. Sometimes when there's a special kriya just for the women, the Baal Kori will not make the bracha. So it would be good to have a woman representative talk to the Baal Kori and say, are you going to make the brachas or are we going to make the brachas? Like, speak up. If the Baal Kori says, I don't speak to women, well, then you probably were not going to get very far with him. But find out from him, is he making the bracha or you're making the bracha? If he's making the bracha, great. But if he's not making the bracha, then they should appoint a woman representative to make the brachas for everyone there and coordinate it with the Baal Kori that it should be in the right time, not too far in advance, not when he already started. But whatever it is, the brachas are not ma'akev. That is that we spoke about as far as eating. We try not to eat before the Megillah. If it's too hard, you're too weak after the fast, you can have a coffee and a Danish after three stars. After three stars, not before. If you need to have a real meal because you're super duper weak, then if you're really, really weak, make an alarm, appoint someone to remind you to hear the Megillah later, and then you could eat. Okay, that is a wrap on Hilchos Megillah. Now, as far as like certain hashkafa, an idea behind Purim, so to remember, it's important, there are four mitzvahs of the day, Purim, Suda, Shachmanis, Matan Zev Yonah, and Megillah. Those all four are Dirabanan or heightened Dirabanan, but there's one mitzvah deraisa which is there every day, including Purim, which is the mitzvah deraisa of learning Torah that exists and that applies even on Purim. And Purim was a day that the Klal Yisrael was makabel the Torah be'ahava, right? We were forced to accept it on Har Sinai. Hashem held the mountain overhead. It was not until Purim that we actually accepted it with ahava, with love. We got to a point where we actually loved Hashem and we loved the Torah. So Purim, besides being a day of fun mitzvahs, it's also a day that we makabel the Torah be'ahava. So it's a wonderful day to actually learn the Torah and show Hashem, yeah, we actually love this thing. And the Bach explains that learning from Ahava means you're not doing it because you're obligated. When you do something because you're obligated, that doesn't show love. When you're doing it because you just want to have this relationship with Hashem, you love Him, you love the Torah, and that's why you're learning. That's learning because of Ahava. So it would be a wonderful thing to set aside part of your Purim day to be able to learn as well. Now, getting drunk seemed to take over a focus of the day. Okay, how many bottles of wine should you buy? But getting drunk is a really small, super duper small part of Yontif. It is part of the Suda. It's not its own mitzvah. It's just part of the Suda's Purim. To get drunk, not in the Suda, is something that you need to go to AA for. That's not something you need to do. Getting drunk at night is no mitzvah. It's just a regular avera, like getting drunk tonight is no mitzvah. If you're part of the Suda, which is only by day, then there is a mitzvah of drinking more than normal, perhaps even getting completely drunk, which is fine, but do it because it's a mitzvah and not because you have issues. Do it as part of the Suda. I highly recommend to do it in one venue. You don't need to publicize the fact that you're drunk. No one on the street needs to know that you're drunk. You could like stay in your own house and be drunk at your own Purim Suda, and that's really great. But to do more than that will kind of be defeating the purpose, because what is the purpose of getting drunk on Purim? Where did that come from? So the Chassam Sefer says it is to fix up the Avera that we did at the Suda of Achashverosh. At Achashverosh's party, a lot of Jews were there and a lot of Jews did inappropriate things, including getting drunk and acting inappropriately. So to fix that up, we want to have a holy, kosher, Jewish Suda with wine. But if you're going to do Aveiros because of that, well, then you're no better than the Jews at the Achashverosh's party. So what you want to do is set yourself up to succeed. Set yourself up to do it in a really positive, holy, Kedusha way. And therefore, I highly recommend only in the Suda, only in one place, and it should be done in an environment where you will not do any aviras. Now you want to daven mincha beforehand so you don't mess that up, and daven ma'ariv whenever you are sober enough. Sober enough, hello lady. Sober enough means as long as you can say, hello God, I'm davening to you, then you're sober enough to daven. If you do not know that you're davening to Hashem, then don't daven. But if you can say, I'm davening to you, Hashem, then you can daven. Then you're sober enough to daven. Now, costumes is something very interesting. Costumes is a good idea. Is that Pia? Anyway, costumes is a good idea for sure if you're a child. Now, when you grow up, you don't really need to wear costumes, but there's a common denominator between costumes and wine, which is it could take away some of your inhibitions, some of your restrictions. You feel maybe perhaps restricted to show your true love to Hashem or to other people when you're a little bit tipsy or you're wearing a costume. A lot of things, like there's no more boundaries. You can really like be yourself because like no one really knows and no one expects differently. So if you want to go reach heights in your attachment to Hashem or to other people to really tell them what you feel, so yeah, you can wear a costume when you get drunk. But if it's going to be for other reasons, then you just shouldn't do it.
Now, why don't we do that every day?
What?
Why don't we do that every day? Why do we do white shirt and black pants then?
That's a good question, right? Yaakov would like to encourage everyone dressing up like Batman every day. It's a good idea, maybe, but we probably would lose the effect. But anyway, Sam, what do you have to say about that?
I think we should just get drunk every day instead.
Right. So Yaakov is going to wear Batman every day. Sam's going to get drunk every day. I'm going to wear my white shirt and stay sober every day. And let's see who's more successful. But anyway, the idea is that...
Challenge accepted.
Yeah, thanks, Yaakov. If you do it in the right way, it's great. If you do it the wrong way, it's terrible. Now, we'll end up, which is what really the theme of Purim is. And I spoke to that in the Chabura. I'll speak out again, which is the Rambam says that really you're not allowed to add any mitzvahs. There's 613 mitzvahs. You're not allowed to add any mitzvahs. So why did Chazal add Purim? Where did Purim come from? Why are we allowed to add Purim? So the Rambam explains that Chazal added Purim to teach the generations that Hashem listens to our tefillahs. That when we call out to Hashem, Hashem answers. Hashem hears us and he answers us. By Purim, Klai Yisrael was davening. We did fasting. We dive into Hashem. Hashem heard our pleas and Hashem answered us and saved us. And that is a pasuk in Devarim that says, b'chol karav elav. Whenever we call out to Hashem, Hashem answers us. Hashem hears us. Mi kashem alkinu. Who is great like Hashem? We're such a lucky nation that we call out to Hashem and Hashem answers our tefillahs. That is why Chazal made a Purim. That remember for all generations how Hashem hears our tefillahs. And therefore, Purim is a day for super duper davening. Now, it's a very busy day. You got to do all the other mitzvahs, but it's a day to set aside time to really daven. Highly recommend daven Vasikin. Vasikin in Israel is around Shmoneh Esrei 608. It's not terribly early, but davening Vasikin, davening sunrise, is super duper powerful. On Purim is super duper duper powerful. And in Yerushalayim, we perhaps have all 3 days. In Atlanta, all you have is Friday morning. But in Eretz Yisrael, we perhaps have 3 days for tefillah. Friday, Shabbos, and Sunday. It's a shiloh, which one is the more important day? Let's go for all of them. So if you could dive in Vasikin on all 3 of those days, you'll be cashing in to super duper tefillah potential. Daven for anything and everything you want and you can in the world. Because that's the whole point of the Yontif. The whole point of Yontif was how Klai Yisrael daven down, Hashem listened to us. And therefore, the focus shouldn't be how many bottles of wine you're going to drink or who's the coolest costume. The real focus of the day is kabbalah zatar bi'ahava and davening with as much kavana as you can muster up. Okay, that is the theme of Purim. We'll end off now. Next week in Mitzvah, I would like to talk about Pesach. We'll do 2 shiurim Pesach. Last year, I did 10 shiurim Pesach. If whoever wants it, I'll send it to them. But I want to focus now 2 shiurim. Next week, we'll discuss this year's unique that Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos, which makes Friday and Shabbos super duper weird and different. And next week we'll discuss, I know it's a little bit in advance, but it's going to take time to process exactly what we're supposed to do. So next week we'll be doing Pesach, Erev, Pesach that falls out on Shabbos like it does this year. Okay, we'll end off with a Bitachon Vart.
Yes. Of Goldberg.
Yes.
Can you have bakashos for people in Yerushalayim on Shabbos?
Great question, right? In general, you do not ask for bakashos on Shabbos. It's a day that you can thank Hashem, but not to ask. However, you are allowed to ask for what you normally ask for. What's like part of your routine, you are allowed to ask for.
What is that? Bakashos?
Right, bakashos are requests. Like you're not, on Shabbos is a day that you're not supposed to feel bad or have, like, you know, mourn or even be in pain over certain suffering. And therefore it's brought down like Pinchas to say not to make special requests to save certain situations. However, what is part of your regular routine you're allowed to do because it's all part of your routine, it's not gonna pain you anymore. So that's permitted. So therefore, what Pinchas is saying is on Shabbos Purim, besides whatever is normally permitted on Shabbos, would you be allowed to do more? I would say not. I would say, Pinchas, I like the question, whatever you'll be allowed to do on a regular Shabbos, you should do on this Shabbos and not more. But on Friday, on Sunday, everything. And on Shabbos, whatever you normally would daven for, you can continue to daven for. Okay, thank you for that.
Do you think if they have to start their Suda before Shabbos, and then they bench later to have that same Maila by Marav Davening?
I'm sorry. No, you don't. The Marav Davening on Shabbos and Beit Shemesh is a regular weekday davening. It's a regular Shabbos davening, not a Purim davening. Purim ends at 6. All right. Now,
even if you're in the same Suda, Pemsa Suda.
Yeah, sorry. Now, okay, we'll end up with Bitachon. We're finishing Perek Gimel Bitachon. Something very fascinating. I've always wondered, and now I see it here. Chaim Sefer says, sometimes you'll have a person that happens to like a certain field of work. He has a certain natia, a certain bend. He likes that line of work, but it's not necessarily the most lucrative. He may not actually make a lot of money, but he really enjoys it. Should you go ahead and do something that you enjoy, that you feel you'll be good at, or should you do something which is more lucrative, which is, you know, I'll be the doctor, the lawyer, even though I don't really enjoy it, but at least it's like a guaranteed paycheck. So he says, this is a major hashkafic and emuna and bitachon shaila. And he says, if you realize, no matter what line of work you do, the paycheck is coming from Hashem. You're just doing your job of, I believe in Hashem, and I'm gonna do my hashtalis to make a parnasa. Then you can pick whatever line of work that you want. And he says, by the animals, all animals are better at certain things than other animals. And the animals do whatever they're good at, that's what they do. So too human beings. Some people are built strong, some people are built weak. A weak person shouldn't try to do a strong man's work, even though it's more lucrative. That's not what he's cut out for. So whatever line of work you're cut out for is a line of work you should be doing. And you should have the amount of moon and bitachon to say the same Hashem that writes the check for the doctor and the lawyer could write the check for me doing X, Y, and Z. And therefore, when you're choosing your line of work, don't feel bad to pick something that isn't like a sure shot, because nothing is a sure shot. Hashem's not writing the check. It's not coming anyway, no matter what line of work you're in. Now, that is at the end of Perek Gimel Shai Bitachon, an eye-opener for some people here. Now, Avart on davening, we spoke out last week in Shmon Esrei Goal Yisrael how the war is part of Geula. That's all part of Geula. And Sam mentioned Al HaNisim, which is what I want to discuss right now, this week. And Al HaNisim, right? Al HaNisim in davening on Purim is put in the Haidah. It's put next to Modim. It's part of what we're thanking Hashem for. So we're thanking Hashem for the Nisim, the Neflos, all the wonderful things, the Yeshuas, when Hashem saved us. And in there, we all say, Al HaMilchamos. We're thanking Hashem for the wars. It doesn't say for the victory of the war. That's the other words. That's Yeshua. That's Nisim. We're thanking Hashem for the war. So this is a great idea. Not only, like we saw last week, that Geula starts with the war. We're even thanking Hashem. Thank you, Hashem, for the wars. Now, obviously, what we don't want to die and we don't want to get bloodshed, but the war itself makes you. The war itself can make you who you are. If you're able to stay strong, you're able to keep your emunah through the war years, right? Those people who, during the Holocaust, they came out from unbelievable. They were able to keep their emunah during the wartime. They're heroes. They can thank Hashem for that war because, you know what? It made them who they are. They became stronger, bigger. We never would want that. But if we go through that, it's unbelievable. So here also, for our own personal wars, everyone has their own personal struggles and the personal wars. Whatever war you're in, thank you, Hashem, for that war. It's difficult. It's hard. But I'm in it, and I'm going to win it. And I appreciate the opportunity to win this war, and I'm going to win this war. And that's part of the Haidah. We are thanking Hashem for the Nisim and for the wars that we endure as Klal Yisrael back in the time of Purim, but also we can have in mind our own personal wars. We'll end off on the Parsha, Parsha Tetzaveh. So two short varts. One of them is, it discusses the Kohen Gadol's clothing. So he wore a me'il. Now the me'il, at the bottom of the me'il, the apron, the blue tchelis apron, it had pomegranates and it had bells. And they were equal numbered. It was a pomegranate bell, pomegranate bell, pomegranate bell. They alternated. Yet the Pasuk says that the pamon, the bell, was between the rimon, between the pomegranates. Now, they asked the question, they each were between the other guy, right? Why did the Torah highlight that the pomegranate was, that the bell was between the pomegranates? You could have said the same thing the other way around. You could have said that the pomegranate is between the bells, right? There was the same amount of pomegranates as there were bells, according to most people. So why did the Torah emphasize that the bell was between the pomegranates? So I heard a great shot, which is the me'il was mechaper for Lashon Hara. The Gemara in Zachim says that all of the big day kahuna, the Kohen's clothing, were mechaper, forgiven for certain averas that he did. The me'il atoned for Lashon Hara. So it could be what it's trying to emphasize is you're going to talk and you're going to be quiet. The emphasis should be on the being quiet. The bell made noise. The rimon didn't make noise. So we're saying the bell is between the pomegranates, as if there are more pomegranates. What it means is a message. Your speech should be sandwiched by silence. There should be more silence or more control of your speech. Your speech should be controlled. Your noise-making capabilities should be controlled by your silent capabilities. And that's the rimon should be the dominant creature and not the bell. Okay, that's one idea. Our last idea is Parsha Tetzaveh. It's fascinating. When Moshe Rabbeinu was born in Parsha Shemos, he's mentioned in every Parsha except for this Parsha. From Parsha Shemos until Zos Bracha, he's mentioned the whole time, every Parsha except for this one. So the Achrayim ask, why was he left out? And there are a lot of really, really good answers. I don't want to say any of them. I want to say why I don't like the question. And I'll explain like this. It bothers me. The question is so nice. How come the Gemara didn't ask it? And how come the Rishonim don't ask it? To the best of my knowledge, there's no Gemara and none of the...
Wait, Rabbi, I apologize. What was the question again? The
question is, Moshe Rabbeinu was born in Parsha Shemos, and every Parsha he's mentioned except for this Parsha Tetzaveh. Every Parsha until Zos Bracha he's mentioned. So it's a great question with the great answers. And I want to say I don't like the question. I'll tell you why. The Rishonim don't ask this question, and the Gemara doesn't ask the question. What I would like to put out there is, it's not a question. Meaning, why should Moshe have to be mentioned? What is there an obligation for Hashem to mention Moshe Rabbeinu? What it seems to be is, the question was assuming, if Hashem really loves Moshe Rabbeinu, well, then he would have mentioned him. And there must be some underlying reason why he wasn't mentioned. And some of the answers explain that, why Hashem was punishing him, whatever it was. But maybe it's not a question. The fact that he's not here doesn't show anything about the relationship between Hashem and Moshe. What I'm trying to get at over here is, sometimes a person makes a party, you make a simcha, and your friend for 47 years didn't come, and your neighbor and he didn't come, and the cousin Susie, she didn't come, And then you're thinking, well, why didn't she come? Well, I don't know. Maybe she doesn't like me. Maybe I should be angry with her. Don't even ask that question. Don't even take and think, oh, why didn't this person come? Why didn't this person call me? Doesn't this person know what I'm going through? Maybe yeah, maybe no. Maybe the message here is don't ask the question. The Gemara, the Rishonim, don't ask the question. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu is not here is not a question. Hashem loves Moshe Rabbeinu. That's not disputable. So too, Uncle Susie, or whatever her name is, loves you and didn't come to your party for whatever her reasons are. It's none of your business to ask that question. All right, have a very good Shabbos. Avrei Lechem Purim. Next week, Pesach. Bezat Hashem.
Shkoyach.